in God, the power for prayer. Faith in God, the power for prayer. So why don't we begin by praying. Amen. And I want you to ask with me, we're going to ask the Father to open our hearts, because how many of you would like to pray better? We all would. If you're a Christian, you want to be better in prayer. So let's ask God to help us. Amen. Father, we do look to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And we're going to ask you this morning, teach us, Lord, to pray. And today, Father, I ask that you would help us see who you are. Lord, help us see who you are. And build our faith so that we can be a people who know how to pray big prayers and believe. I'm asking you that, Father. Trust you to do it in me and in all of us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Now, I just want to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. You know, when I first got saved, everybody brought their Bible to church. There were no cell phones. I mean, this was ancient times. There were no cell phones. We didn't have overhead, you know, screens putting the scriptures up and all that. And all that stuff's great, and I love that. By the way, Ron does a great job, doesn't he? Yeah. I'm amazed. Listen, ministry, what he does is phenomenal. But I learned to use my Bible listening to preachers. And most, when I first got saved, I spent most of my time in the index. Because I had no idea where these books were. Habakkuk, what is that? Haggai, what in the world is that? New Testament, Old Testament, where is that? I have no idea. Because I grew up like Michael, Catholic, Roman Catholic, and 12 years of school, never opened a Bible in my life. I mean, I might have opened it at home. We had a big family Bible, but I closed it back up pretty quick because I had no idea what it was saying. So I didn't know anything. But I learned. I brought my Bible and a notebook. And something about going, following in your Bible. I plug in the Bible in church. Amen. I know sometimes we don't like to bring them because we forget them and leave them, you know, and you come back, oh, I lost my Bible or whatever. But, so anyway, bring your Bible to church. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. We're going to read through verse 29. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. And immediately when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And he answered them and said, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If you can." This is Jesus saying, "If you can. All things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, "I do believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, he came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse most of the people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. When he had come into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." Some manuscripts add fasting, prayer and fasting. "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." Now keep in mind that Jesus said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" And then he tells them, this can only come out by prayer. So we see here that Jesus is moving them to a place of faith. And prayer was the key to faith. And we're going to come back to that. Now turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 12 through 14, and then we'll read verse 19 through 25. "And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples were listening. Well, they left there. They went on into Jerusalem. Jesus went in there, pulled out a whip, cleansed the temple, drove the people out. And then in verse 19, it says, whenever evening came, they would go out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, 'Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered.' And Jesus answered, saying to them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him.'" And then he starts talking about prayer. "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they shall be granted you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your transgressions." Have faith in God. When they saw the fig tree, they saw this work of power, they said, "Lord, look at that. What? Wow." And he says, "Have faith in God." And then he tells them, if you believe, you can pray and ask for anything, and it'll be granted to you. So we're going to talk about how faith and prayer are so interlinked that you can't really have one without the other. We got construction going on here? Working on the roof? Okay. Ignore that, if you can. It's going to be hard to ignore that. But hang in there. Don't they know they're not supposed to work on Sunday? Did you tell them that's a mortal sin? That's right. To cast out a demon, like the one Jesus cast out,
on top of the microphone that's getting enough.
It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, do what you can.
I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially in my youthful days, I'd read stuff like that. What is wrong with these guys? No faith. They should have cast that thing out. And I've pastored for a few years and met a few demons and realized I shouldn't have been so hard on them. Put yourself in their place and you're just going about, and all of a sudden somebody comes in and they're foaming at the mouth and shouting and screaming and jumping over chairs and throwing things and falling down and convulsing, and they say, "Would you cast the demon out then?" Takes on a whole other ball game then. It's a different situation. And his disciples had cast out demons. We know that they had been out casting out demons, but they never met one like this one. And it scared them. This demonic manifestation shook their faith. It was a bad demon. It was bad enough that when Jesus commanded to come out, it didn't just come out. It tore the head. It tore him and left him laying there, since like a corpse. He may have been dead, but you know, when Jesus touches you, you're not dead. So we may have seen two miracles, the casting out a demon and the resurrection of a young man. But either way, he healed him. And Jesus says, "You unbelieving generation, how long have we got to put up with you? Why couldn't we do it, Lord? Because this one only comes out by prayer." Which gives us the key of what happens when we have a life of prayer. Our faith grows. There's an author that I love. He lived back in our Civil War era. Civil War, he actually fought in the Civil War and then pastored after that. His name is Edward McHenry Bounds, better known as E.M. Bounds. He wrote many works on prayer, actually 8 books on prayer. And it's some of the best reading on prayer you'll ever read. It's one of my favorite. I've read all of his books on prayer. Powerful, powerful truths about great devotional material on prayer. You just read it. Ministers to your faith. And I'm going to give you a quote here, one quote about quoting actually 3 different times. He said, "Faith is kept alive by prayer. Faith is kept alive by prayer, and every step taken is accompanied by prayer." Faith is kept alive by prayer, and every step taken is accompanied by prayer. It's in that prayer life that our faith grows, faith in God. Because when you pray, you're not praying to the ceiling. You're not praying to yourself. At least I hope you're not. Although probably many times we pray, we're not even really praying to God. We're just kind of voicing. But when we pray to God. To the God who is, to the God who we don't see. Which takes faith. Do you realize that you walk in faith every day? When you say, "Good morning, Jesus," that's faith. Because do you see Him? You don't see Him with your eyes, but you know He's there. And you pray to Him because you believe. And so the exercise of prayer increases our faith. And so Jesus says here, now this one only comes out by prayer. If we're going to do great works for Jesus, we've got to do great praying with Jesus. Amen? And the more we pray, the stronger our faith will be. Now, in the next account where he cursed the fig tree and he teaches them now have faith in God, it's kind of reversed. First he's saying, this only comes out by prayer. Telling us prayer builds your faith. The next one he says, if you believe, you'll ask. Faith builds prayer. Prayer builds faith. Faith causes prayer. The two are interlinked. They work together. It's like a marriage. It's like a husband and a wife. Faith and prayer, prayer and faith. Faith and prayer, prayer and faith. They work together to produce powerful works. They work together to bring the unseen into the seen. Saints, we don't live in a closed universe. One writer said that about prayer, that we must understand we do not live in a closed universe. In other words, what you see is not all there is. When we pray, we reach into an unseen world. When we pray, we reach into that place of faith, that place where God is. And then the invisible comes into the visible and causes things to happen. Amen? That's what prayer does. It reaches into the invisible and it brings the invisible into the visible. And things happen. And all of us, if we walk with God for very long, can cite answers to prayer. Some may be very dramatic answers to prayer. Ian Bounds said, "Faith which creates powerful praying is the faith which centers itself on a powerful person." Faith which creates powerful praying is a faith which centers itself on a powerful person. Amen? And then he went on to say, faith in Christ's ability to do, and to do greatly, is the faith which prays greatly. Gave you a lot of blanks there to fill in. Faith in Christ's ability to do, and to do greatly, is the faith which prays greatly. The more you believe that Jesus can do it, the more you believe in an almighty God, the more likely you are to pray. And to pray greatly. Pastor Doug's been telling us, pray big. Well, the bigger you believe, the bigger you'll pray. Amen? And how many of us, we all want to pray bigger, don't we? I mean, when we pray, we want to see results. Well, here we go. It's a journey. You know, faith is a journey, isn't it? Our walk with God is a journey. I'm not where I used to be, and I'm not where I'm going to be. But if I keep pressing, following Jesus and running after Him, I'm going to get farther than I am today. And then someday, I'm going to see Him in His glory. Hallelujah. Oh boy, yeah. That's where we want to be, isn't it? We sang a song this morning, I believe, and I love that song. I asked Ken if he would do it for us again this week. And I just love singing that song. That song comes from the Apostles' Creed. Maybe the Nicene Creed, several great creeds down through the years. The Apostles' Creed was written back in, I think, 392 or something like that, AD. One of the earliest creeds of the Christian faith. And we're going to recite that together. Because a creed is a declaration of our faith. A creed is a declaration of our faith. So let's say this together. Say this with me, okay? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do we have it?
No.
Now we got it?
Nope.
Do we have the whole creed up or not?
Nope.
Okay. We'll see how many of you know. I grew up memorizing. We memorized it. That's one thing I didn't learn in the Catholic school. It was the Apostles' Creed. You know, this is interesting because if we go back about 100 years, we would all know it. Some of our contemporary church, watch out, I'm going to say something. We've lost some things. Things like creeds that are very, very important to our faith. So if you know it, say it with me. I'll say it, you say it after me. I'll say it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Maker of heaven and earth.
Maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Very good. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So be it. So let it be written. So let it be done. That's a creed. It feels good to say that, doesn't it? Those are the things we believe. Like Michael said last week, that's theology. That's a creed. That's theology. That's the things that we believe. Most of the creeds were put together because of heresies that had broken out in the church. So the church fathers got together and they made these creeds and they sent them out to all the churches and they began reciting them and declaring what we believe. What you believe determines what you do. Amen? And we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And so that first line of that is, I believe in God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I'm an old-fashioned Christian who believes the Bible is true. I believe that God created the world in 6 days. You know, I used to that be taken for granted, but it's not. So I can't take for granted that you all believe that. Because we've been taught a lot of other things. I believe God created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days. And I got science to back it up. I really do. But I can't prove it. There were no eyewitnesses. But there were eyewitnesses to Jesus, and we're going to see how Jesus proved to us that God created the world just the way He said He did, by His spoken word. In Genesis chapter 1, we'll go there. In 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth. And the reason I'm going there is because we're going to find that if you believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth, and the more you believe that, the bigger your faith will be. Anytime God wanted to build a man's or a woman's faith in the Bible, many times He led them back. I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai, maker of the heavens and the earth, creator of heaven and earth. He always took them back to the most phenomenal miracle of history, which was creation. He took them there to build their faith. In Genesis chapter 1, we're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read about the 5th day. In chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, a 5th day." I was listening to a Hebrew scholar just this past week, and he was asked, what is that word day? How does that read? What does it mean in Hebrew? He said, it literally is a 24-hour day. It's the only way it can be interpreted. Jeremiah said in chapter 32 and verse 17, he said, "Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." He was contemplating the creation. Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your mighty power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. And he was praying that God would save Israel from judgment. Nothing's too difficult for you. He was building his faith by believing in the creative power of God Almighty, the almightiness of God. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, it says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day, forth for speech, night to night reveals knowledge." There's no voice. There's no speech. Their voice is not heard. But their sound has gone out through all the earth. Their utterances to the ends of the world. In them you placed a tenth of the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It's like a strong man running his course. It runs from one end of the heavens to the other. And nothing's hidden from his heat. He's just, the heavens declare the glory of God. Last year, I think it was last year, 5 of my grandkids were spending the week with us. Yeah, that was a full house. But I like the opportunity to build my grandkids' faith. I did it with my kids. How can I help my grandkids? One night, I decided I'd take them out stargazing. So we went out and we laid a blanket out on the yard. And I took my binoculars out there. We We laid down. It was a beautiful, clear night. We were looking at the stars, and I said, somebody count the stars for me. There's too many, Papa. I said, yeah, there are too many, aren't there? You can't count them. I said, you see how many there are? So you see that star right up there, that big moon? Yeah, yeah. And you see, you know, two, three stars around it. I said, look through these binoculars, and you look through it, there's like, you know, 50 stars around it. All of a sudden, it just opens up. You can see so much more. Wow! That's a lot of stars. It is. You see that hazy band running across there? It kind of looks like a cloud, a little bit kind of cloudy. They said, yeah. I said, that's the arms of what's called the Milky Way. We live in the Milky Way galaxy. Yeah, I said, you know how many stars there are in the Milky Way galaxy? Now, how many, man? 100 billion. 100 billion? I said, that's a lot. How long do you think it'd take you to count to 100 billion? I don't know. I said, but you see that? See that big star right out there, that way out there? I said, you know, that looks like a star. That's not a star. That's another galaxy. And it has 100 billion stars in it. I said, you know how many galaxies there are? The scientists have estimated there's at least 100 billion galaxies. And all of them have at least 100 billion stars. I said, you know that mathematicians have figured it all out? They said that, I said, have you ever picked up a handful of sand? How long do you think it'd take you to count every grain of sand? Oh, I said, it would take forever. I said, that's right. I said, the people and scientists have figured out there's more stars in heaven than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the world. And that's the truth. Because we have a big God. He is Almighty. When I consider the heavens, you need to take time to consider creation. It was a man that you know of in the Bible, struggling with his faith. He was in his 90s. His wife was in her 80s. And God said, you're going to have a child. And Abraham said, ha! That's what he said. And Sarah went, yeah, right. Have you seen my wife? She's old. I mean, she's beautiful, but she's old. I'm not saying she was beautiful. Now, see, the Bible says she was beautiful. I wouldn't say that. Don't get me wrong, man. You're going to get me in trouble. She's old. She's past. She can't have a baby. She's been barren. And God, you know what God said? He said, come with me, son. Let's go outside for a minute. Takes him outside. In the Middle East, no city lights. I'd like to see the star. Abraham, count the stars. Can't do it. Too many. Yep. So shall your descendants be. And the Bible says he believed God. Who did he believe? Why? Because he saw the God who made the heavens and the earth. When he saw the stars, somehow it hit him. Nothing is too difficult for you. See, Jesus said, have faith in God. Who is God? He's our Creator. He's the Almighty. The Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He made the trees. You ever looked at the trees? How many different types of trees are there? 100 billion. Yeah, there you go. Lots of different kind of plants that make me 100 billion. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. They all have a different DNA. They're all unique. He did it when he said it. So God is a mighty God. Now, Jesus proved to us. The Bible says he came and showed us the Father. He said, if you don't believe my words, Believe the works that I do. If you don't believe I'm from the Father, just believe the works that I do. And so we're going to go look at one of the works in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. You know your story. We're going to read it. Chapter 6, verse 34 through 44. And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, and when it was already quite late, his disciples came up to him and began saying, "The place is desolate, and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." Jesus pushes them out. "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Well, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to recline by groups on the green grass. And they reclined in companies of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed the food, broke the loaves, and kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate loaves. 5,000 men. I don't know how many women and children. So we can probably guesstimate that the crowd was at least 10,000. Maybe more. Probably at least 10,000. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. Starts breaking the bread and breaking the bread and breaking the bread and breaking the bread. Put it in the baskets. One basket's full. Keeps breaking the bread. Keeps breaking the 5 loaves. Keeps breaking the bread. Breaking the bread. Breaking the bread. And in minutes, they filled enough baskets to feed 10,000 people. Then he takes 2 fish. He didn't break the fish. He's got 2 fish in his hands. And he gives the fish away, and he has 2 fish in his hands. And he gives the fish away, and he has 2 fish in his hands. And he gives the fish away, and he has 2 fish in his hands. And he just keeps doing it until 10,000 people have been fed. Did they see the fish appearing? I don't know. But he just kept giving the fish away. Because you see, he is Almighty God. He created the fish. And it didn't take him 1 billion years to do it. He created the fish in an instant. And they weren't fish eggs. Adult, fully formed fish. Instantly. Created instantly. You see, he is the creator. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created." By Jesus. All things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Yes. Amen. He is the creator. He showed us the Father. If Jesus can create 10,000 fish in a matter of minutes, he also can fill these seas, the oceans, and the world in a day. Can he? Did he? He said he did. And Jesus proved it. He showed us God the Father. We beheld his glory Glory is the only one of the Father, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, who beheld the glory of God walking in a man. And he proved us to us who he was. He didn't sit through that once. He turned around a few days later and fed 4,000 men. Did it again. Because he was trying to teach them faith. Lord, where are we going to feed all these people? He said, don't you remember what I did a few days ago? Okay, bring me some fish, the way you got. And he does it again. Just to show them. Because he could. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Believe what?
He is.
That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Now I know many of you have prayed prayers that didn't get answered. And of course, that's where doubt comes in. Is God really a rewarder of those who seek him? Is he really? See, there's a lot to be learned about prayer. You know, it says here that Jesus said, whatever you ask, if you believe, you'll have it. I know people that have said, God, give me a Cadillac. I probably did that a long time ago. It didn't happen. There are a lot of other things to know about prayer. We have to pray according to his will. But we must pray with faith. And we must pray with faith in God. Not faith in your faith. Many times we tend to have faith in our faith. In our ability to believe. Jesus didn't say have faith in your ability to have faith. He said have faith in God. And so I believe we get faith in God by meditating on who he is. By taking time to look at the stars. By reading the Bible, I mean, this thing is truth, saints. The Bible is the truth. And story after story, account after account, history after history that declares who God is. That he is good. That he is great. That he is powerful. That he is holy. And know who he is. Every time I open my Bible, maybe you can pray this. Every time I open my Bible and pray every day, I say, Lord, show me who you are. Not who I want you to be. Show me who you are. Help me see as you are, and help me know how to respond properly. That's my prayer. That's a good prayer. Show me who you are, because sometimes we make up our own God. We need to know the God who is. And that's where our faith grows. Faith in God. And so, again, Ian Bounds said, faith which creates powerful praying is the faith which centers itself on a powerful person. Faith in Christ's ability to do and to do greatly is the faith which creates or which prays. Amen? Faith which creates powerful praying is a faith which centers itself on a powerful person. Saints, we need to meditate on God. Who God is. We need to look at who Jesus was. We need to feed ourselves every day. So, how do you grow in faith? How do you learn to pray? Well, the first way you learn to pray is pray. Start praying. If you've never prayed, then start praying. If you don't know how to pray, and this really should be your first prayer, like the disciples, Lord, teach me to pray.
Yes.
Lord, teach me to pray. I want to learn to pray. And then, cultivate your faith. Do the things that cultivate your faith. Become a student of the Bible. You've heard this before. I'm reminding you again. Feed yourself with the Bible more than you feed yourself with CNN or Fox News. We're a people who live in an information generation. We're inundated with information and we have little knowledge. We have lots of information, but we don't know much. Because we never take time to think and meditate. The Bible tells us to meditate. So take time in your Bible. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Get good materials. Read good materials. And stay in church. Feed yourself. Get around believers. Those are just a few things you can do to build your faith. So faith is a journey. And I know you're all on it. You've had all kinds of experiences. If today, maybe you really haven't made a step, I don't know everybody here, I'm fairly new, so. Maybe there's someone here, you've never really made the step of faith to really believe in Jesus. To put your faith and become a Christian and begin to follow God and know God. The scripture says that, Jesus said in John 17 verse 3, says, this is eternal life. They might know you. The only true God in Jesus Christ whom you've sent. And so I just want us to think, if we just bow our heads this morning, if someone is here and you've never stepped out take a step to follow Jesus. We've heard today that God is our Creator. He made us, He made you. But we all know that we've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We all know that. No one has to convince us of that. God didn't stop at His creation. He also became our Savior. He sent Jesus to be a sacrifice, a sacrificial lamb to forgive us, pay the price for our sin. And He said if we will believe in Him, that He would save us from the penalty of our sin. He said if you, Paul the Apostle said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So let's just pray together. And if that's you this morning, and we can all pray this together. Just pray this prayer and reach out in faith and receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you are God Almighty. And that you sent Jesus that I can live, be forgiven, become a child of God. I believe that you rose from the dead, Jesus. And I confess you, Lord, as my Lord. Receive me, wash me, and cleanse me this day. Accept me as your child. And if you pray that in your heart, God will touch you. And God heard that prayer. Life begins with your first prayer of faith to Jesus. Then it goes on from there. And saints, I know a lot of you out here, those of you who are Christians, you've had struggles with your faith and struggles in prayer. There's a word that's come forth today that if you receive it, can help you. And if you've got a struggle that's going on that you seem to not be able to get past, and you'd like for us to pray for you, then invite you to come up this morning. And we'd love to pray with you. Stand with you in your journey of faith. So feel free to come up, receive prayer. Michael can come up. We'll pray with you and trust God to do a great work in your heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Does anybody need prayer at all? Please come forward. I hear Joy, would you come and pray with Trish? And you maybe a couple other things. Some things that we do as a church need to be praying for. This past week, we prayed for Cody, who was in the hospital, little Cody, sick with pneumonia and a few other things. He's doing better, but we still want to keep praying. We still want to keep Cody in our minds and keep him in front of God. And so I'm going to ask a few people, maybe we'll gather together and pray for Cody. Something else, we've been keeping you updated with Kyle Hamilton, Whitney's brother, and he has been moved to Owensville to a, from what I've heard, an amazing facility. I've not been able to make it out to visit him. Doug and Sally were out there on Wednesday, I believe, incredibly impressed with where he is, incredibly impressed. And Doug was telling us as he was sitting there and talking with Kyle, that he told Kyle, he says, I am longing for the day. I'm waiting for the day when you will walk down, you'll be out of the wheelchair, walk down here and share your testimony with us. And he said Kyle was kind of hunched over like this, and whenever Doug had said that, he leaned up, eyes got big, and he smiled right at him.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if there's something there or not, but I'm going to believe that there is, just because that's more fun, to be honest with you. And so if anybody needs prayer for anything, please come forward. I'd love to pray. Kid would love to. John would love to as well. We've got a few minutes before we need to get our kids, and so let's come forward and let's pray together. Jesus. And as we're praying, Karen, would you come forward? I believe Karen has something to share with us about prayer. If you're praying, keep praying, but let's just... let's meditate on the words as we hear them.
For about, two or three weeks ago, I woke up and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, how shall I pray for your people? And he spoke this to me, and it's just been, we've been studying about the goodness of God in our Bible study. And he said, pray for my people that they'll be satisfied with my goodness. And, I thought I had one scripture, but then the Lord reminded me of this in Jeremiah, where he said, Jeremiah 32, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. And I was thinking back here when Ken was preaching about, I've been saved since I was 8. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 26. And all that journey, God has been showing me little by little His goodness. We can't pray if we don't know that He is good, 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 good. So, Father, I just pray right now for all of us, Lord, that we would come to know and understand and be satisfied with Your goodness, so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace for help in time of need. Lord, that we would know that you are absolutely, absolutely for us. And I just pray this prayer and I ask that you seal it by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, God, Lord, I want to ask that you would seal this word up within us that we heard today. Wasn't this a great word? On prayer. Yes. Lord, what better way could we be spending our time than to pray? And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, just as the man prayed earlier. Lord, I pray that you would help us to pray. You would teach us to pray, oh God. Teach us through one another, God. Teach us through your word. Draw us back to the Bible, God, every single day. That way we can pray, not our words, but your words. What better prayers are there than to pray back to God the word which he has spoken? And so, Lord, I pray that you would help me in my prayers. You would help my quiet time, God. You would help me throughout the day to do as Paul had said, which is to pray without ceasing. In all and everything, give thanks to God. And so, Lord, would you help our church? Would you build this church up today and enable us to pray? And, Lord, right now, I'm feeling an urge. I want to pray for the construction guys who are working on the roof, Lord. Lord, I can't help but think we can hear them. Maybe they can hear us. I don't know. Maybe someone heard something. And so, God, would you seal up their faith? If they don't know you, God, would you introduce yourself today, Lord, even right now? Would you show up and tell them who you are? Show them who you are, oh God. Lord, we love you. We love to be with you, God. We thank you every day for the privilege of being your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's a great word again. That's such a good word. It's such a good reminder to be drawn to prayer and to know that our prayers rest on God the Almighty. Church, we thank you. If you have your children, we need to go and get them. Then we will see everybody next week where Doug will be here and he is speaking on healing. So make sure you come in for that.